To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
News, traffic, and the latest from the world of sports. This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We do welcome you in. It is time for a brand new week's worth of Rush Hour Sports here on KMOX. No Kevin Wheeler for a couple days. He'll be back on Wednesday. My name is Matt Pauly, back after a week away. Bernie Miklas is here as well. Hello, hello, Bernie. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and I guess you and I will be working together tomorrow night on the Rush Hour.
Yep. Today and tomorrow. Yeah, certainly so. And it was a very eventful, busy weekend. We'll get into some football, maybe a little bit of hockey before all is said and done. But I was kind of chuckling to myself because Bernie, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was last time I was on, we were basically talking about the absolutely meaningless nature of the GM meetings and how everything that they're doing they could do on a Zoom call. And then I kept reading all the coverage coming out of Las Vegas about all the conversations that Chaim Bloom is having with all the other presidents of baseball operations and GMs across baseball. And this is probably very unique to this year and where the Cardinals are at right now. It's not a wide-ranging thing, but I chuckled at myself because I was very happy to know that Chaim Bloom was able to get face-to-face in a room, in person, with all these people around baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I've been really, really impressed with his energy level and his communication. Like, and again, I know he's new to the job, so why wouldn't he have a lot of energy and why wouldn't he be communicating with everybody? I mean, he's doing his job. But he just brings a whole different feel to the gig. And that's not me taking a shot at John Mozeliak. Whenever there's a regime change, you're looking for differences. Mm-hmm. And Bloom is just relentless, man. He's always texting. He's always on the phone. He's always reaching out to people. He's always having meetings. Like I know this for a fact. Like he'll have a meeting, and he's got someone else waiting in the next room to have a meeting. Like he just goes from one room to the other. I mean, I think his energy is the proverbial breath of fresh air. I'm sorry. I need more coffee, Matt. Thanks.
No, that's I think you're right. And again, this doesn't take a shot at Mo, but you know what? Probably I don't think Brian Cashman is probably jumping around and bouncing around the way Chaim Bloom is. Like there's just something. And you know, Chaim's not a spring chicken. He's been around for a while. He's been a head of baseball operations before. It's not like he's a 25-year-old or something like that. But there is energy. I think anytime somebody gets a new gig, there is some energy that goes along with it. And part of the obligation of everybody involved with it at the beginning is to take advantage of that energy that is existing right at the start.
Right. And I like the fact that and to get back to what you originally said, because I always do make fun of the GM meetings, but I will say I failed to take into account, well, wait a minute, as far as from the Cardinals perspective, it will be kind of lively, and it was. And I personally enjoyed all the reporting that was done by the beat writers and national writers about all the different conversations about different players that Chaim Bloom has had. Now, we're not privy to all that, but it's sort of given us an idea of how we would set if we were to make a list of like who are the most likely Cardinals to be traded, just some of the information coming out of those meetings would help us put that list together.
I was going to go here, and I'm glad you brought this up, and this might be something that we have to stretch into the next segment, kind of a
sure.
What do we learn from the reporting? And the reporting is always a secondhand thing, but one of the things is going into this, I thought it was a pretty good possibility that Sonny Gray was going to get traded, but I didn't think it was like a foregone conclusion. Man, after I read everything and see everything that's coming out of the GM meetings, it really feels like Sonny Gray getting moved is a big time object that Hein Bloom is going for right now.
There's a lot of teams interested in him, and I do trust the reporting of some of the best national baseball writers, plus Derek Gould at the Post-Dispatch, in terms of relaying the level of interest in Hein Bloom, and excuse me, that Hein Bloom's getting, you know, in Sonny Gray. I think that's a real thing. And of course it's a real thing because teams, especially the teams that have playoff aspirations, they're always looking for someone they can plug in like maybe as a number two starter and someone with Sonny Gray's track record. So it makes all the sense in the world that people covet him, but he gets to have the final say. But I think maybe Sonny Gray would like to go somewhere, have a chance to get to a World Series, you know? His contract's going to be up after the end of the season anyway. So, okay, one year of maybe inconvenience with the family during the season. You know, is that a trade-off? Is it a trade-off for a chance to get compete for a World Series ring? You know, I think he'll decide that, but I have a feeling he would go for that.
It might not even be that much of an inconvenience. If he gets traded to Atlanta, there's right. not a whole lot of difference from Nashville to St. Louis to Nashville to Atlanta. You know that he's in the right. Nashville area. So that is and he controls whether or not he is willing to be traded to certain teams. So if he knows for a fact that the Braves are in on him and the Cubs are in on him, well, he can sit there and say, I'm not going to accept a trade to the Cubs, but I'm going to accept a trade to the Braves. And then that pushes the Cardinals' hand. At one point, Hein Bloom actually said that, you know, in those type of situations, specifically with Gray and Arenado, I think the term he used was those guys have more of a seat at the table than in other situations. So they get to be part of this. So there should be a lot of transparency on who the Cardinals are talking to and who might be interested.
The only market... And again, this is no revelation. I think everybody generally knows this. I think the only market he'd probably want to avoid is New York. He didn't have a good time when he pitched for the Yankees. And the Mets are kind of a circus as well. I mean, just look at last season, right? So maybe he would take a pass on that. But there's a lot of teams that are going to be hounding Hein Bloom about Sonny Gray. And that's really encouraging for the Cardinals because I think that, you know, he could be parlayed into something the Cardinals really need in terms of doing something about adding young pitching, maybe adding potential young power for their lineup, you know, guys that are close to the major leagues type thing, or established major leaguers, but young and controllable in terms of their contracts.
Yeah, one of the other things that was said, and I'm not trying to push Sonny Gray out the door, and I also
right.
I push back so often when people talk about the $35 million that he's owed for the year, $40 million with the buyout, because of how little the Cardinals paid him in year number one of the deal. You're just making up with the backside. So I don't feel like he's a $35 million player this year. I feel like he's a $20-plus million player plus the 10 or 15 that you didn't pay him 2 years ago. That being said, if you do move them, you get the opportunity to move all or close to all of that money. And if they do want to do something where they're bringing in players on a multiple-year deal, somebody that they can get now but will be here for once this thing starts getting going again, that money coming loose could be helpful in that area.
No doubt about it. And you're right about the $35 million. I've been guilty of like not looking at it that way, but that's good clarity. So I appreciate what you said. Yeah. I mean, they got him for 10, they paid him $10 million in his first year. So, yeah. All right. It all evens out. It's still a 3-year deal with $75 million and a $5 million buyout. I mean, that was the entirety of the investment. It really doesn't matter how it's distributed. Good point, Matt Pauley.
Thank you. I bring one of those every once in a while to the table. I'm thinking about the names that were mentioned, and We heard Nolan Gorman's name. We heard Lars Nootbaar's name. We heard a lot of Brendan Donovan's name this past week. We didn't hear a whole lot of Alec Burleson's name. That was a name that I didn't see popped up in a whole lot of coverage. I don't know what that means, but I guess another thing that I would say that coming out of the GM meetings, I didn't think they were likely to trade Gorman. I still don't really think they are, but I'm a little bit more willing to go there. I didn't think there was a chance in the world to trade Nootbaar with the injury issues, but we kept hearing his name, and it does feel like that Burleson's a guy who's probably going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals would – listen, I should never say this as if it's like the end-all, be-all. Like, no, they can't trade Alec Burleson. That's kind of stupid because – if the offer would blow Heim Bloom away, you can trade anybody. That said, Burleson had much better year, actually, than I just thought while watching it in real time. I mean, I could go into this, but I won't. But he's really coming into his own, and he's hitting for power. And you look at his slugging percentage, career high, but you also put it up against the overall major league slugging percentage. I mean, he's way above average in slugging this past season, and he can hit left-handed pitchers. I mean, and he's getting better defensively, and he'll be under contract through the, 2028 season or the 29th season. He's got three controllable years.
Yeah.
Three controllable years. You know, there's no reason to trade him. I think he's a really valuable piece, and he fits into what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree. What are your thoughts, though? Are you on the same page with me where maybe you feel a little bit more like there's a possibility that we could see a Gorman or a Nootbaar get traded just based off some of what we've heard out of GM meetings?
I think Nootbaar for sure, but I put a caveat on that. If in fact other teams are convinced that he will be good to go by the start of 2026, you know, and they're not worried about the sports hernia surgery. No, that's Donovan. Sorry. they're not worried about the double heel surgery. And it sounds like he's making great progress. So we'll wait and see. But I'm not surprised people are interested in him. It seems like a lot of teams are looking for left-handed bats, especially if they can play the outfield. And he could play all three spots, although – obviously, center's not his strength. So it's just a matter of whether teams will try to lowball the Cardinals because they think, well, you know, he'll be okay physically, but we can get him at a lower price because he had the surgery. I don't think Heim Bloom's going to go for that.
Somebody should start an injury podcast about the St. Louis Cardinals, just covering injuries, and call it Hernias and Heels.
Exactly, exactly. And Brendan Donovan, that'll, you know, there's a lot of Cardinals fans, and listen, I'm not making fun of them or criticizing them, but they're just I don't know what kind of percentage we're talking about, but man, they're just really upset by the idea of Donovan being traded. But I'm really sorry if you're in a rebuild situation, even a moderate rebuild, it just makes no sense to keep him unless you were going to give him a long-term contract extension, and I don't see that. In fact, I'm confident they're not going to do that. So what would be the point when you can sell him high now and you have a lot of interest in him? What would be the point of holding on to him? It just doesn't make any sense in terms of the long-term outlook.
That's Bernie Nicholas. I'm Matt Pauly. You are locked into Rush Hour Sports. We got a lot more coming up. Don't go anywhere right here on KMOX.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is Rush Hour Sports right here on KMOX alongside of Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today as we take you until 6 o'clock. Then I'll take you 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock this evening for Sports Open Line. A reminder, and Bernie, you're going to be part of this, and we just ran a really cool vignette. We're going to have our special KMOX 100-year anniversary. I say show, but it's an all-day thing coming up on Thursday where we are going to honor really the entire 100-year history of KMOX, and there's going to be some really cool things that we're going to be doing on Thursday.
I think it's such a great thing, and I'm so honored that I was invited to participate and be part of it, because I go back a long time with KMOX, but even before anything that I had to do with KMOX, I used to love to listen to KMOX late at night from my parents' house, listening to Cardinals baseball on the West Coast, listening to Blues hockey, Midwest, West Coast. It sounds strange, but I think it's actually a story that a lot of people, sports fans of a certain age, would tell in various regions of the country, listening to KMOX back when, you know, there was a romantic aspect about that, listening to baseball on the radio in terms of like, in, you know, you're, but yet you live like 1,000-1,500 miles away from where the team is. And that's, you know, that's a really cool thing, and it made a real impact on me. So I always had this dreamy outlook on KMOX, like, gosh, what a giant, what a powerhouse, what an institution. The fact that I was been able to work for KMOX is ridiculous. I'm not worthy, but I certainly appreciate it.
No, you absolutely are. And of course, we've been the home of the Cardinals for so many of those years, and we're continuing to talk Cardinals baseball. Do you feel like the return, because sometimes when we talk about players the Cardinals are going to trade, and you get crazy opinions that pop out on social media about who the Cardinals might get back for somebody or something like that, and it's just not, if you look at all the trades that have been made in baseball in recent years, it's becoming more and more evident that teams really do not part ways with their top prospects. It's just,
that's right.
That's not something that teams are willing to do. Is it, as we hear all this talk about Brendan Donovan, is there a possibility that as more and more teams are interested in him, there's going to be a way for the price tag to go up a little bit where the return might be better than what we expected when this whole thing got started?
I would think so, especially if we're talking about the big boy teams in terms of payroll, who might be willing to, it's not like he's going to make a lot of money the next couple of years. I didn't mean to imply that, but the big boys with the big payroll, they're also got the loftiest ambitions. They're usually the most aggressive, and maybe they're willing to give up more for Donovan just to beat out another contender who wants him. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
And I understand, you alluded to this before the break, they're Brendan Donovan is a fan favorite. Everybody really appreciates him for the way he plays the game. He plays the way the game, you know, the way the way he plays is the way I think old school Cardinals fans love, just, you know, the, when you romanticize the history of baseball, everything about that is connected to Brendan Donovan. But if you're not realistically going to be winning at a high level before he has a good chance to walk out the door anyways, I don't see why you don't allow him to walk out the door, especially speaking of the proverbial doors, it opens one for J.J. Weatherholt to take over at second base.
That's right. And, you know, the key to trading Donovan now is that the team that wants him, you know they will have him for two more full seasons. So if you fool around, not that Heim Bloom would fool around, but if some people say, well, you know, maybe he'd be good for Weatherholt, maybe keep him around, he's such a good influence and all this stuff. Yeah, that's fine. But if he spends 2026 with the Cardinals and then you go to trade him and he's only got 1 year left before he become a free agent, he simply doesn't have as much value. So, and he's, the other thing too, and I'm like you, man, I almost feel bad because it almost seems like I'm a Brendan Donovan critic, and I'm not at all. I love Brendan Donovan, or that I don't appreciate him. I do, but I'm also just really pragmatic. And he's going to be 29 years old next season. So it's not like he's a 26-year-old. He plays so hard and throws his body around so much that I think as time goes on, he's going to be more injury prone. That's exactly what's happened with Tommy Edman. You know, Tommy's always banged up. And Tommy has helped the Dodgers, and Tommy's a two-time world champion. I'm not – Tommy Edman, that worked out great for him. But I'm just talking about there's a similarity there in terms of the wear and tear and the effect that increasing age has on two infielders like that who play the game so hard, and they never want to come out of the lineup, and it actually to their own detriment. It's like last year with Donovan.
Yeah, it absolutely. And that we've talked about before, I think that is something that's going to change a little bit as things move forward. But I don't think you can ask Donovan to change the way he plays. Like when he's in the field or when he's in the outfield and he wants to go make a play, I don't think you want that little voice inside saying, well, don't go like you normally go, because that just puts you in a place that nobody wants to be in.
Well, that's right. And so we'll see how Ollie Marmol handles that. And I think, you know, I think there could be, who knows, there could be a philosophical change on that, if depending on some of the guys who are injury prone who are still here in 2026. We'll have to see about that. But I think it's really interesting because, again, with all due respect to Brendan Donovan, and I do respect him a lot, you know, this isn't like, you know, when the Padres traded or the Nationals traded Juan Soto, or then the Padres. He left as a free agent. This isn't like selling Juan Soto to the highest bidder the way that the Nationals did. I mean, Brendan Donovan's a really, really nice player, but if you know, since he came up in 2022, you know, he's, in terms of wins above replacement, which takes into account his defense, he's like 77th among major leaguers. That's good. He's a top 100 player. But that's not a top 25 player, you know,
right?
Who's going to be your franchise piece, and you're going to invest in him because he's young enough to pour a lot of money into. He's not that guy right now.
That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. You are listening to Rush Hour Sports. We'll take a break. We'll come back with you after news and traffic, all coming up right here on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back at it on the Rush Hour Sports right here on KMOX alongside of Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. It was an interesting football weekend. Bernie, if it's all right, we'll start a little college football here because Missouri, they were able to come away with a good win, and it feels like the two things that we kind of look at right now in when it comes to Missouri is some of the individual stats, and some of those were pretty gaudy over the weekend. But then also we continue to be on Eli Drinkwitz watch, and that's connected to Lane Kiffin. And reportedly, Kiffin had family members in both Gainesville and Baton Rouge, and Ole Miss wants an answer in the next week. And there could be an uncomfortable conversation about him coaching in the playoff or not. If he ends up leaving, there's a domino effect that hits Drinkwitz, and then we hear Drinkwitz talking about the fact that he wants more of the Fortune 500 companies in Missouri to be supporting the football program. Man, there's a lot going on right now with Missouri football.
You know, there are people like in Columbia who know the situation. They're convinced that Mizzou's going to find a way to keep them. But I would say in the same community, the people that are close to the Mizzou athletic department, there are people who are convinced that he's gone. So What I haven't really written about this or talked about this much lately because we're getting close to Lane Kiffin making a decision. And after that, to your point, you know, everything else will start to fall in place. But Drake has to decide whether he stays here. He's got everything he wants, everything he needs. The administration will make sure that he is accommodated. And listen, it is a whole new world with college football. Greg Sankey the commissioner of the NCAA, was talking over the weekend to the Athletic about how they got to make a push for a 16-team playoff by next season, by 26. And so in that scenario, if you're at Mizzou, you can get to the college football playoff. It's not this impossible climb, right? Look, they lost to Alabama by 3. They lost to Vandy in a squeaker. It's not like, other than the Texas A&M game, which was predictable, it's not like Mizzou has gotten blown out by anybody. Oh. They're not that far away.
I think it's fair to say they should have won the Alabama game and they should have won the Vanderbilt game.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you.
They win those games, they're right there. Now, that goes back to the lack of wins against top 25 teams under Eli Drinkwitz, and that's just a fact. It's not me trying to take a shot at the guy.
Right.
Did you kind of tilt your head in a weird way though when he made the comment about the Fortune 500 companies? In like, I don't know what you. I feel like it's different if you're the head coach of Texas and you're calling out the Fortune 500 companies in that state versus calling out the Fortune 500 companies in the state of Missouri, where the fervor for the program is different. And I'm not trying to put it down, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I don't listen. There's a couple ways to look at that. If we're going to play the parlor game, right? Trying to guess what's Eli going to do, you know, did he drop that reference about it? They need more support financially from the Fortune 500 companies in the state. Did he drop that because he really wants to stay here and he wants to rally them to get busy and to provide more backing? Or did he bring that up because if he leaves, that'll be one of the things that he'll point to? You know, so I don't know what his strategy is. I really don't.
Let me throw out a third option. He's had some backdoor conversations, whether it's through his representation or something else, with some of these other schools, and he started to hear what some of that, what some of the Fortune 500 companies in other states are doing at some of those jobs, and he has started to say, "Well, why can't we have that in Missouri?"
Yeah, that's sure. You know, Eli Drinkwitz is a Southern man. Arkansas, born and raised, you know, coached at Auburn as a low-level assistant for a while, Appalachian State, NC State, right? It's his whole background. Would he be comfortable at Penn State? Because Penn State's waiting for somebody, and he would make it work because he's a charming guy. He can turn on the charm offensive. I think they'd love his energy. I think he would project, you know, a lot more positivity than, you know, James Franklin did, who was really, really uptight. So I don't know. And the Penn State fans that I've been reading, because I've been monitoring things, they seem to be really divided on him. So, you know.
I saw something today. Josh Pate is a big college football guy. He does a really nice job with his stuff. And he mentioned Matt Campbell from Iowa State today. And one of the things he said was, Campbell just will not engage with job openings until his season is over. So that's why we never hear his name. But he mentioned him as being a really good fit at Penn State. And I think that makes sense for everything that we're each saying. I would be more afraid of Florida on behalf of Eli Drinkwitz than I would have for Penn State. I don't look at Penn State and look at Eli Drinkwitz as being a fit there, where I think, like, when I heard Josh Pate today say, you know, Matt Campbell would be a great fit there, I think, yeah, he probably would. So fit matters. We know that Brian Kelly was not a fit at LSU. And
no.
I guess we can argue if we want to whether or not Brian Kelly's a good coach or not. I don't think he does what he did at Notre Dame. If he's not a good coach, he's got to. But him walking into LSU was a terrible decision outside of the money that he was paid for it. Fit matters. And Brian Kelly should be a signal to every coach out there to make sure that money isn't the only reason that you make your decision.
Florida fans, I can understand the appeal of Drinkwitz because, number one, for the most part, he's had really, really good offenses. But critics, and sometimes I have been one, sometimes the play calling and the direction gets a little fuzzy to me, but that's okay. He's a good guy offensively. He's also got some sass to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a little bit of that Steve Spurrier light kind of personality to him.
Yeah.
He also wears a visor, which I think that plays well in Florida, right? But let me play devil's advocate on something. I'll be quick. Since 2020, and that was Drink's first season in Mizzou, right? Florida's 6-24 against ranked teams, right? 6-24 with all those resources, with all that pedigree, with all those three national championships in the fairly recent past. 6-24 against ranked teams. Drink at Mizzou is 7-17 against ranked teams. So if you're a Florida fan, you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe our platform's better, but can we trust him to win the big games?
You can probably trust him more than the people who have been there already. But I also, they're going to do everything they can to get Lane Kiffin. I am just convinced of that. They are going to do everything they can to get Lane Kiffin, and every other domino will start to fall after that. One more break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the St. Louis Blues as they go on a 5-game road trip trying to figure out how to win games. We'll discuss that in just a moment right here. It's Rush Hour Sports on KMOX. Just a few minutes left here in this edition of Rush Hour Sports alongside of Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. The Blues are about to go on a 5-game road trip, their first extended road trip really this season. It starts tomorrow when they play Toronto. They're also going to match up against Philadelphia, the Rangers, the Islanders, and the Devils before they eventually come back in about a week and a half or so. Bernie, I'm getting sick of the post-game comments of, you know, guys are down, guys, you know, they need to play harder, they need to try harder, whatever it might be. Like, it's just, it's very frustrating to hear those type of words being spoken game after game after game after game, and that's essentially what we're getting right now.
Yeah, and some of those comments Justin Falk made after that team's ridiculous no-show and that awful loss to Vegas, you know, talking about, you know, we're competing like, you know, we're on autopilot, you know, stuff like that. I mean, what a damning thing to say. What a horrible indictment. So they're just a bad team. The chemistry's not right. They got some key players, especially Pavel Buchnevich, who's just awful, not earning the money. Still have the worst save percentage in the league. Still have allowed the most goals in the league. I mean, there's just, listen, we could go to 9 o'clock and we're not going to do that, talking about all their problems. They got a lot of things wrong with them. They really do.
Yeah. And I think every time something a little bit different happens, you try to hope that's the thing. So right now, the thing they're hoping is that a extended road trip might be the thing that brings the team together, you know.
Right.
Hope in one hand to do something in the other. We know what gets filled up, right? Like, I just don't know where to go with that.
And Doug Armstrong, you know, has dropped hints like they're on notice, like he's doing the thing where he's threatening to, you know, trade players if they don't respond. I wonder if there's no response, will Doug Armstrong blow it up? And it's something I did on my video today, and I'll be real quick. I asked, like, well, if they're going to blow this roster up, are you going to give the dynamite to the guy who put the roster together? I mean, at least Bill DeWitt went outside the organization to try to get a fresh mind, fresh presence, fresh ideas to fix it in Heim Bloom rather than sticking longer with John Mozeliak.
You and I are going to be back together tomorrow. We're going to hit on that a little bit more tomorrow on if it does start to go to a point where they're tearing it down, what it might end up looking like. Bernie, good stuff as always. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, good being with you, Matt, as always.
That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. This is Rush Hour Sports. Sports Open Line next here on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.